I take responsibility for the temperature in the church this morning. I overlooked, forgot to turn up the thermostat when I came in for 8 o'clock. It just makes me feel at home, though, back in an English country church where there's a need to wear overcoats. But I will do my best during this sermon to produce as much hot air as I can to warm you. The theme of today's sermon, I sense, is very important pastorally. I wish somehow it could have been communicated clearer, but if any of you want to talk with me more about the theme after the service or during the week, please do contact me. I begin by thinking about the film European Vacation with Chevy Chase. There is, when they eventually arrive in London, that glorious scene where when Chevy decides he's going to take them to see the Houses of Parliament. But as you may remember, to get to the Houses of Parliament, there is what I used to call a roundabout, what I now call just a circle. And so they set on this roundabout sometime early morning with the sun bright and the skies clear. And then they go round and round and round and round and round. And so at the end of that scene, the night is dark, the sun is gone, and the moon is shining. Now, there's something funny about that happening. But there is something tragic when we are feeling that our lives are being spent just in a circle, constantly in a roundabout. But the prophecy today from Isaiah says this is not true. Isaiah 35, verse 8, a highway shall be there. It shall be called the holy way, the rude way. And the rebellious shall not travel on it. It shall be for God's people. No traveler, and I love this bit, no traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. Nevermore have I felt more included in a text. I think that laughter is very unkind. Long ago, I came to accept that I am not a seasoned shopper, a confident consumer, a proficient purchaser. Even a store such as Shaw's fills me with dread. On Friday, I set out on a mission with verbal and written directions carefully given. My wife is nothing if not hopeful. But all too soon, isn't this right? I was calling. I was texting. I was even sending photographs. Is this the right thing to buy? But then I became aware of another shopping weakness that I have. I observed that generally, trolleys were pushed and baskets were carried in a path that seemed very direct. Whereas I was making laps and circles, coming back again and again to the same aisle, these seasoned shoppers were moving in definite paths that were never repeated. I was in awe and wonder. Now, many of us, in fact, most of us, from time to time in our lives, are spiritually scammed into believing that our journey consists of circles and circuits, that we get back to where we were. But the season of Advent charges us to believe and to declare again that God is always calling us forward on a journey with a beginning and an ending and a middle. There may be aspects of our life today that seem resonant with the past, but it is not the same. It cannot be. But God moves us on. Years ago, I learned a spiritual chorus. Now, don't worry, it's not going to be sung, though it's tempting. And this is it. Walking, yes, I'm walking on the King's highway. Walking on the King's highway to the place of many mansions. I shall come at last. Walking on the King's highway. You get the sense of movement, of progress, of purpose. This past Tuesday, Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, preached a sermon at Lambeth Palace to parliamentarians and their staff. You see, there are some good advantages of church-state relationships, but that's for another time. He comments, "The sense of the cycle that goes round and round is false. As Christians, we believe in a direction, a journey. A journey that began with God, ends with God, in which God accompanies us the whole way, in which there is always a sense of being looked after. And as we go, Christ draws near us and says, come with me, walk this journey in my way. And the Archbishop concludes, it is not an endless cycle of going around. It is a direction. The addict who suffers a relapse, the recidivist who commits yet another crime, or the family, the community that feel they are confronting exactly the same problem, such as these and more, attempted to feel doom and despair. They sense that they are entrapped in some vicious circle, and circles, as you know, have no point. They feel that they are included in some horrendous hamster wheel, not of their own making, but from which they cannot escape. And they long and they ache to be rid of the cycle and to enjoy the highway. Well, this is the Advent word of the Lord. A highway shall be there. Isaiah reminds us that the rude and the rebellious find this belief difficult to entertain, challenging to accept. For when we lose respect for the divine, for others, for ourselves, when we refuse to surrender to the one who can give us purpose, then we sentence ourselves to lives lived in circles seemingly without hope and purpose. God help us. But then I believe he always does. Matthew 11, 10. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way. Before each of us, there is a divine messenger preparing the way, the road, the highway. Now, I surmise that there were times when Jesus felt he was back just where he started with those disciples. I almost wonder whether he sighed with a low mutter, "Oh, here we are again. They don't understand. They seem so slow and stubborn." Yet he wouldn't have said that, because Jesus would have had, and he wishes to share with us, the sense that we're never back to exactly where we started. There's always something that we have learned about ourselves, about others, about God. You know, from an outsider's point of view, it might seem that Alan is just back where he started 25 years ago, preaching in the same pulpit, in the same church. But that's ridiculous. things, people have changed. God has been at work. It is a devilish lie that we are simply back where we started. In the hands and the economy of God, this is just simply impossible. Even the one who chronically relapses, or the one who disappoints us yet again, or the one who finds their plans constantly blocked, this one is not back where they started. But somehow, in the hands and economy of God, further on. Consider the spiral staircase. You know, from one perspective, it seems as you're climbing the staircase that you're just back where you were before as you look down. But in fact, you know you are higher. You have moved on. Consider the canal boat, locked in the lock. It will seem to passengers in that boat that they are locked, that they are damned, in more sense than one. And yet all the time there is an upward movement, so that when everything, and God knows this, when everything is safe and ready, we can move forward. James 5:8, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near, and Advent reminds me, and I rejoice at its message, and I hope you do too, that as we wait in the Advent community, we begin to see how the Lord is coming into our lives, into our challenges, into our trials. He comes to give purpose, to redress wrongs, to establish the kingdom. It is happening all the time, and yet our lack of expectancy blinds our eyes and deafens our ears and hardens our hearts. We, as James says, begin to grumble, and this is what we grumble. We're here again. Nothing's changed. It's all the same. Those grumbling cries must be ignored. We are not back where we were. It is not just the same. God is at work. But if we listen to those cries, they will disable and enfeeble and paralyze those of us who work and pray and hope for social justice and political integrity, even though it seems at times we move so slowly, inch by inch. Isaiah 35, verse 8, a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the holy way. The rude and the rebellious, so unepiscopalian, shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. On this highway, there are no tolls, no barriers. It is for all who travel, even, thank God, for fools. Amen.